welcome to Servants of the Lord Ministries. My name is Dr. Keith Jenkins. I'm the International Coordinator for Servants of the Lord Ministries. Before I start my message today, let me share with you the commission of the ministry that was given to Joseph Hedgecott many years ago. He said, "I have children in every nation, and you have brothers and sisters whose hearts are crying out to me. They've sought me for ministry and blessings and gifts. I've given them those things, and it's blessed them. But there's a part of their spirit that it never fulfilled, that is reserved for an intimate relationship with me. Now their hearts are crying out to me just for me. That is who I'm sending you to, because I don't want them to take the years it took you to get to me, because there was no one to show you how at the time." Servants of the Lord Ministries is a teaching and training ministry sent to the body of Christ to reach people with a heart after God. This message is for those who want to get to know Him and grow up in Him and be ready for His appearing. Today I'm sharing a message on the family of God. We read in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 12, verses 46 to 50. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 12. I'm starting in verse 46. "While he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him." Verse 47. "Then one said unto him, Behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee." Verse 48. "But he answered and said unto him that told him, Who is my mother, and who are my brethren?" Verse 49. "And he stretched forth his hand towards his disciples and said, Behold my mother and my brethren." Verse 50. "For whosoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother." After Jesus was told that his family were outside, he stretched forth his hand towards his own disciples and explained that the disciples following him were his brethren. The disciples went everywhere Jesus went. You have a possibility to do the same today through the Holy Spirit, but you have to be led and controlled by the Spirit. Your priorities will change. Jesus said in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16, verses 25 to 27. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16. I'm reading verse 25. "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it." Verse 26. "For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Verse 27. "For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. At the end, every man will be rewarded for the works he has done in obedience to the Spirit, but not for the works done in the flesh. The devil helps you to do what you want in this temporal life, so you lose sight of your spiritual inheritance. Some want to follow Jesus, but are unwilling to give up something now for the sake of the gospel." Jesus said in Luke 14, verses 25, I'm reading to verse 30. This is in Luke's Gospel, chapter 14, starting in verse 25. "And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them," verse 26, "If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple." Verse 27. "And whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." Verse 28. "For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and count the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it?" Verse 29. "Least happily, after he hath laid the foundation, is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him." Verse 30. "Saying, This man began to build, and was not able to finish." In the book My Sheep Hear My Voice, 2021 edition, in chapter 7, on counting the cost, on page 82, Joseph Hedgecott writes, "Just as a builder, you must count the cost before starting a construction project. You must count the cost to follow Jesus Christ. If you refuse to pay the price for Jesus to become your whole life, you will never enjoy constant communion with God. You will not be led by the Holy Spirit consistently. Many believers make an effort to walk in this message for a season. However, they only get to know the Lord in a limited way. Their lack of success is the direct result of their unwillingness to give up their lordship. They refuse to count the cost or pay the price to follow Jesus because they do not trust him. Even though they profess to have faith in God, they are reluctant to give him full control. The work that he started in you has to be finished with God's resources, not your own. He is the master builder. If this work is not completed in the time allocated, there is only one reason. Jesus is not the Lord of your life. You are. He is supposed to be the author and finisher of your faith, not you. If he does the work, he gets the glory for the work he has done through you." John said in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 28. This is 1 John chapter 2, I'm reading verse 28. "And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming." Every time you establish him as Lord, he will begin to tear down everything you built while you're in the flesh and begin to build his way instead. When your life is going through such a transformation, you will know you're getting ready for something eternal, and this is the assurance of your salvation as well. Paul said it in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 to 10. This is in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, I'm reading verse 8. "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that's not of yourselves, it's a gift of God." Verse 9, "Not of works, lest any man should boast." Verse 10, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." If nothing is functioning properly in your life spiritually, when he returns, you cannot rule and reign with Christ. You need to use this time to learn to hear his voice in many situations. There will not be any time later to learn. Do not let time slip away so that you lose your inheritance. The language of heaven is obedience in all situations. God will help by removing those things you are holding on to and still trusting in. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1, I'm reading to verse 4. This is Hebrews chapter 2, starting in verse 1. "Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip." Verse 2. "For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, then every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward." Verse 3. "How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him?" Verse 4. "God also bearing them witness, both with the signs and wonders and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will." In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, Hebrews 2, 1-4 says, "Since all this is true, we ought to pay much closer attention than ever to the truths that we have heard, lest in any way we drift past them and slip away. For if the message given through angels, the law spoken by them to Moses, was authentic and proved sure, and every violation and disobedience received an appropriate, just, and adequate penalty, how shall we escape appropriate retribution if we neglect and refuse to pay attention to such a great salvation as is now offered to us, letting it drift past us forever. For it was declared at first by the Lord himself, and it was confirmed to us and proved to be real and genuine by those who personally heard him speak. Beside this evidence, it was also established and plainly endorsed by God, who showed his approval of it by signs and wonders and various miraculous manifestations of his power, and by imparting the gifts of the Holy Spirit to the believers according to his own will. You will not escape the retribution or the judgment if you do not hold on to the truths you have heard and neglect the offer to directly hear the heart and mind of God through what Christ has done. This offer is for a short time only. By grace through faith, you bypass the outer court and inner court and come directly into God's presence. Now you just have to make every effort to abide in Christ under every challenge and difficulty and prove that you're following Christ. Learn to live by faith in what God provides, his way, in his timing, using the witness of the Holy Spirit. Resist the devil, or he will become your provider instead, giving you what you want when you want. Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12. This is 1 Timothy chapter 6. I'm reading verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. For more information about the fight for your mind, please read chapter 14 on the battle for your mind in the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually by Joseph Hedgecock. The word lay hold in Strong's is number 1949, a middle voice from some other words which means to seize. For help or injury, attainment or any other purpose, literally or figuratively, to catch or lay hold or lay up or take hold of or take hold on. Paul told Timothy to lay hold on eternal life for day-to-day decisions, not just big decisions. Through trials and challenges, you will get to know God and see how he responds on your behalf, especially when you're helpless. Those on the broad way are trying to get an instant miracle for the sake of their flesh and are not patient under trial. Jesus said in John 17 and verse 3, this is in John's Gospel, chapter 17 and verse 3, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. You should be getting to know God no matter what you are going through. Eternal life is a gift, so you can learn what you need now when you do not have everything you think you need. Those who think eternal life is just living forever did not test that conclusion with the Word or with the Spirit. They do not have ears to hear because they see Christianity as just another religion. They are looking for an excuse to do what they want when they want. But their Master Jesus, who they claim to follow, never did this. Jesus said in John 5:30, this is in John's Gospel, chapter 5, I'm reading verse 30, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. When you take over the Lordship, this is when you start to lose your grip on eternal life. Today, many never started on the right path using the gift of eternal life and doing everything by faith. Instead, they're on the broad way using their minds. Christ did nothing without hearing from his heavenly Father, and those who are baptized in Christ operate the same way. Paul said in Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 to 29. This is in the book of Galatians chapter 3. I'm reading verse 26. for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Verse 27, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Verse 28, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Verse 29, and if you be Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. To become part of the family of God, you have to be baptized into Christ. In Christ, you're predestined for glory and honor. In the flesh, you're predestined for destruction. Choose wisely. If you're in the flesh, when he comes back, you will be left behind. You are adopted into the Trinity of God and put in Christ for eternal salvation and doing the will of God. You will not please God in the flesh. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. This is in Matthew's Gospel chapter 7. I'm reading verse 21. Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. Christianity is not just another religion where you repeat some words and then carry on living the way you were before. Many think that they're part of the family of God just because they're born again, but they're deceiving themselves. You should have repented of dead works, good and bad. You only become part of the family by following Christ's example, obeying the Spirit consistently. Doing good works saves no one. Paul said in Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. This is in the book of Galatians chapter 3, and I'm reading verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you? Verse 2. This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? In the Living Bible, Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2 says, O foolish Galatians, what magician has hypnotized you and cast an evil spell upon you? For you used to see the meaning of Christ's death as clearly as though I had waved a placard before you with a picture on it of Christ dying on the cross. Let me ask you this one question. Did you receive the Holy Spirit trying to keep the Jewish laws? Of course not. For the Holy Spirit came upon you only after you heard about Christ and trusted him to save you. The Galatians were going back to Jewish traditions. They were trying to be justified some other way that did not involve repentance from dead works and hearing his voice all the time. Everything you need now comes through hearing God. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. I'm reading Hebrews chapter 11. I'm reading verse 6. But without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The word rewarder in Strong's is number 3408. It comes from some other words which means remunerator or rewarder. That's the Holy Spirit, and he will bear witness if your life is pleasing to him. You're supposed to live by faith, not just pray when you have a problem. To receive everything in the kingdom of God, you have to believe in the fact that God provides for all his servants seeking his perfect will. Some have trusted in doctrines rather than diligently seeking God themselves. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 38 and 39. This is in the book of Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 38. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Verse 39. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. The word perdition in Strong's is number 684, from a presumed derivative of another word which means ruin or loss. It means physical, spiritual, or eternal loss, damnable, or damnation, destruction, death, or perdition. Those who are born again can still lose their soul. In many churches, the preaching of the cross is needed. When you accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, you received the Holy Spirit for a new life of faith to do the will of God for the rest of your life. Jesus was speaking to his disciples in John 4 and verse 34. This is John's Gospel, chapter 4 and verse 34. Jesus said unto them, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." Those who are living by faith have the same food as Jesus. You were perishing without him. The moment you believed in your heart that you needed Jesus, you received the Holy Spirit to repent of dead works and do the will of God. There's no other way to please God. Paul said in Romans chapter 8 and verse 8. This is in the book of Romans chapter 8 and verse 8. "So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God." Christianity is a relationship with God where you stop doing anything for yourself. Now he does everything for you instead, as you will do dead works through the flesh otherwise. No one is self-seeking in the kingdom of God. Man was designed to serve in the kingdom. And Jesus gave you a new operating system so that you don't have to serve sin. Paul continued in Romans chapter 8 verses 9 to 11. This is in the book of Romans, chapter 8. I'm reading verse 9. "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." Verse 10. "And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness." Verse 11, "But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you." The Spirit dwelling and living in you can please God. It's not enough to just receive the Holy Spirit and do what you want. The Spirit is able to quicken your mortal bodies when he is dwelling freely and controls you. Paul said in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. This is in the book of Colossians chapter 3. I'm starting in verse 1. "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God." Verse 2. "Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth." Verse 3. "For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." Verse 4, "When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory." Verse 5, "Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry." Verse 6, "For which things sake the wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience." God is no respecter of persons. Do not serve emotions, feelings, or lusts, as you will face the wrath of God that comes on all those who disobey, whether they're born again or not. Nothing can hinder the power of God in those who are submitted to Christ and do not come out of Christ. Resist the temptation to resurrect your flesh to get what you want, and think about things above. Paul said it in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 24. This is in the book of Galatians chapter 5. I'm reading verse 24. "And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts." In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, Galatians 5:24 says, "And those who belong to Christ, Jesus, the Messiah, have crucified the flesh, the godless human nature with its passions and appetites and desires." In the Message Bible, Galatians 5:24 says, "Among those who belong to Christ, everything connected with getting our own way and mindlessly responding to what everyone else calls necessities, is killed off for good, crucified. Everything you think is necessary in the natural, you do not need. You can live without it, if God decides, by grace through faith, asking him what to do. With grace, you can do anything. And what you depend on now will only begin to control you later. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 12. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I'm reading verse 12. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. God designed man to serve him alone. You will eventually serve those things that you keep doing without asking God. Go without things every so often, and you'll recognize what's trying to control you. If you have made Jesus Lord, he will make all the right decisions for you. John said in 1 John chapter 2, verses 17 and 18, this is 1 John chapter 2, I'm reading verse 17. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof, but he that does the will of God abides forever. Verse 18. Little children, it is the last time. And as you've heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. Nothing in this world is permanent, so this is a good time to practice hearing the right voice now. What is available now will not be available very much longer. Now is the time to overcome the temptation to do whatever the flesh wants. People blame others for the problems in this world today, or believe conspiracy theories. However, those living in the world have been sowing to the flesh for a long time. Paul said it in Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. This is in the book of Galatians chapter 6, I'm reading verse 7. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Verse 8. For he that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Those who want to give God just a token of their lives and still do what they want when they want are the cause of all the problems today in this world. The church was supposed to be salt and light in this world, using the wisdom they gained by taking up their cross daily. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 3, verses 15 to 18, I'm reading Revelation chapter 3, starting in verse 15. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou were cold or hot. Verse 16. So then, because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Verse 17. Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increase with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Verse 18. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness does not appear. And anoint thy eyes with eye salver, that thou mayest see. Those in the church today who quickly accept the technology man developed to live a comfortable life are often blind spiritually. They're not ready for the appearing of Christ. They will be tempted to take the mark of the beast rather than get on the narrow way. They never found the entrance of the narrow way because they are self-seeking. Paul said in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. This is in the book of Romans chapter 12. I'm reading verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The problem is the lukewarm Christians who call him Lord. They have a connection to the one who has all the answers, and they do not want to obey him consistently. The gospel was spreading in Rome through a cheap version of the gospel, attracting those who wanted salvation only. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 5, this is 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I'm reading verse 5. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Since the day of Pentecost, God's kingdom has been here by the Spirit to direct those who have learned to hear. The church is still using their brains to make decisions and disregarding the lordship of Christ by the Spirit. Some say they would do what Jesus said if he came as a political leader. But those not obeying the Spirit now are deceiving themselves. Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, verses 45 and 46. This is Luke chapter 6. I'm reading verse 45. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks. Verse 46. And why call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? To not obey the Spirit is high treason. The church is often telling people to make Jesus Lord and Savior, but they do not listen to their own medicine. When Jesus comes back, he will make the decisions, and I suggest there will be no cars, no electricity, and no telephones. You'll not be able to blame the politicians then, because there won't be any. Jesus said in Revelation 2, verses 26 to 29, in the book of Revelation, chapter 2, I'm reading verse 26. And he that overcomes and keeps my works unto the end, to him will I give the power over the nations. Verse 27. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter. Shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. Verse 28. And I will give him the morning star. Verse 29. And he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. Jesus will set up a new system. Those who hear and obey now will have their own morning angel with instructions from Jerusalem. The only ones who will be able to communicate with Jesus at that time, directly when he is ruling, will be those who can hear his voice now. We read in John chapter 10, verses 24 to 30. I'm reading John's Gospel, chapter 10, starting in verse 24. Then came the Jews around about him, and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Verse 25. And Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. Verse 26. But ye believe not, because you are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. Verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Verse 28. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Verse 29. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Verse 30, I and my Father are one. The Jews were having a problem believing that Jesus is the Messiah. The world wants to see a miracle to believe. Many in the church believe that Jesus is the Messiah, but not in their heart. If you are still leaning to your own understanding, you do not believe in your heart that Jesus is the Messiah. If you did believe in your heart, then you would do what he says to do by the Spirit in fear and trembling. His kingdom is already here now by the Spirit. We read in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. This is Proverbs chapter 3. I'm reading verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. Verse 6. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Jesus is coming back, but only for those who've made themselves ready to rule and reign with him. Those interested in this world continuing the way it is will be left behind because they prefer this world with man's technology rather than God's order with what he provides through listening to the Spirit. John said in 1 John chapter 2, verses 14 to 16. This is 1 John chapter 2, I'm reading verse 14. I've written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I've written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Verse 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. If you're still making decisions with your mind, then you're deceiving yourself. There must be something that you want that you think God will not let you have. If it's something temporal, you cannot take it with you. We read in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 7. This is Proverbs chapter 3 and reading verse 7. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. For you to be Lord of your own life, you have to believe you have all the information. This world is not going to be here much longer. Are you making decisions based on what is passing away? If you're still wise in your own eyes, then you have not departed from evil. And the devil is your friend, even if you're born again. In the kingdom, decisions are made based on what cannot be seen with physical eyes. Paul said in Colossians chapter 1, verses 3 to 13. I'm reading Colossians chapter 1, starting in verse 3. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Verse 4. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints. Verse 5. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you've heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. Verse 6. Which is come unto you, as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it does also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and you know the grace of God in truth. Verse 7. As ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ. Verse 8, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. Verse 9, for this cause we also, since the day we heard, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Verse 11, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Verse 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. The decision was made by the Father to translate those just born again out of the kingdom of darkness as they were babes at the time. Those born again in this world are like victims trapped on a highway to hell in congested traffic. You are removed from hell's highway in God's helicopter to be treated in God's hospital. This is an act of God's grace at the time for those heading for destruction on the obviously evil road. You needed emergency treatment because you were also serving pride and following the devil. The devil is the god of this world, and he likes to kill and destroy baby Christians when they are just born again. However, you were placed in the kingdom of his dear Son to serve him. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 to 7. This is in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, and gives grace to the humble. Verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Verse 7. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Submit yourselves to God. He cares for you, and he has ordained others in his family to help. The devil gets access when you take matters into your own hands. You have to resist temptation to do something in the flesh and seek God's solutions now that you are born again. Others who are perishing will not understand why you do not just do what you want when you want. You will experience some discomfort when you are going through trials and difficulties for the Lord. The only solution is for you to remain humble in all areas and trust in what God provides. Otherwise, you'll get yourself contaminated with unbelief. When you establish Jesus as Lord, you are humble. Peter continued in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 to 11. This is 1 Peter chapter 5, I'm reading verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. Verse 9, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Verse 10, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish and strengthen and settle you. Verse 11, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. The humble submitted to his lordship overcome temptation and get stronger in their faith when they see how and what God provides in his timing. Jesus took up his cross to pay the price for your sins so that you could live a new life, obeying the Spirit and not serve the lust of the flesh ever again. If you get in the flesh, you will come out of Christ and serve sin. Paul explained in Romans chapter 6, verses 19 to 23. This is in the book of Romans, chapter 6. I'm reading verse 19. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness, unto holiness. Verse 20. For when you were servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. Verse 21. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. Verse 22. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life. Verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God's remedy is to live the way Christ lived, submitted to the Father's will, not just being born again. You needed the Holy Spirit to repent of dead works. Sin is anything contrary to God's perfect will for your life in thought, purpose, or action. Paul also said in Romans chapter 6, verses 16 and 17. This is Romans chapter 6. I'm reading verse 16. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are, to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. Verse 17. For God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations to Spiritual Maturity, in Chapter 12, on practical applications, on page 182, Joseph Hitchcock writes, the belief that you are automatically in Christ simply because you are born again is a false doctrine. When you are born again, two natures are present in you, the nature of Christ and the carnal nature of the flesh. Romans 6, 16 explains the nature you are in is based on who is controlling you. The Church of Rome were following Paul's form of doctrine that he included in his letter, but they had not become a living sacrifice. Paul was not giving them another guide to the Christian life. He wanted them to look into the perfect law of liberty. He expected everyone to acknowledge what the Spirit was teaching them and put on the armor of light. They were to do this through their relationship with God until they learned how to hear, trust, and obey perfectly. James said in James chapter 1, verse 25, this is in the book of James, chapter 1, I'm reading verse 25. But whosoever looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. The word looketh in Strong's is number 3879. It comes from some other words which means to bend beside, that is to lean over, so as to peer within, to look into, or stoop down. Those with a confidence in the flesh will not stoop down low enough to look into the perfect law of liberty. Most only catch a glimpse of God's wisdom anyway. There are no fixed boundaries. Conviction of the Spirit is the boundary, based on your calling and how much grace you have been given. Everyone is different, but you will know when you've crossed over from life to death. There are many warnings. You lose joy and peace. The Spirit will also grieve if you keep resisting the truth. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, James 1:25 says, But he who looks carefully into the faultless law, the law of liberty, and is faithful to it, and perseveres in looking into it, being not a heedless listener who forgets, but an active doer who obeys, he shall be blessed in his doing, his life of obedience. In the Message Bible, James 1:25 says, But whosoever catches a glimpse of the revealed counsel of God, the free life, even out of the corner of his eye, and sticks with it, is no distracted scatterbrain, but a man or woman of action. That person will find delight and affirmation in the action. You were a scatterbrain serving sin through the lust of the flesh. You may not know what to do now, but you know what not to do. You flee the lust that caused you to sin and fall into temptation. James had to help the church realize that God is not causing anyone to sin by leaving us in this world. God uses everything to help us realize the condition of our hearts. And that's why we have the forgiveness of sins in his name. When Jesus came the first time, he did not kick out the Romans or lock up the devil. He wants everyone to be strong, like himself, under temptation, and not serve sin using the gift of eternal life. James also said in James chapter 1 and verse 12 to verse 24. I'm reading. This is James chapter 1. I'm reading verse 12. Blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he's tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. Verse 13. Let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempt he any man. Verse 14. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Verse 15. Then when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it's finished, brings forth death. Verse 16. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Verse 17. Every good and every perfect gift is from above, and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Verse 18. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Verse 20. For the wrath of man works not the righteousness of God. Verse 21, Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the ingrafted word which is able to save your souls. Verse 22, But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Verse 23, For if any man be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, He is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. Verse 24. For he beholdeth himself and goes his way and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. For more information on how to be blessed in all your deeds, please read the book The Manifested Sons of God by Joseph Hitchcock. In the Message Bible, James 1:19-24 says, post this at all the intersections, dear friends. Lead with your ears, follow up with your tongue, and let anger straggle along in the rear. God's righteousness doesn't grow from human anger. So throw away all spoiled virtue and cancerous evil in the garbage. In simple humility, let our gardener, God, landscape you with the word, making a salvation garden of your life. Don't fool yourselves into thinking that you are a listener when you're anything but, letting the word go in one ear and out the other. Act on what you hear. Those who hear and don't act are like those who glance in the mirror, walk away, and 2 minutes later have no idea who they are or what they look like. There is no argument when God is blessing everything you do as a result of obedience to the Spirit. You are blessed in whatever you put your hand to when you are anointed. And this is not limited to a task or just speaking the truth. You are able to hear what God is directing you to do in situations that look impossible. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10:12-13. 1 Corinthians 10, I'm reading verse 12. Wherefore let him that thinketh he stands take heed lest he fall. Verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. Make sure you save yourselves. The devil-proof strategy is to obey the Spirit, abide in Christ, and live in his kingdom. This is available by grace through faith right now. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:49-50. This is 1 Corinthians 15, I'm reading verse 49. As we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. The word born in Strong's is number 5409. It comes from another word which means to have a burden. That is, by analogy, to wear, as in clothing, or a constant accompaniment, to bear or to wear. You may have to bear something in your mortal bodies and learn through your mistakes as you live the Spirit-led life in the kingdom of God. Jesus learned through what he suffered and endured the cross for the joy that was set before him. Paul said it in Romans 14:17. This is Romans 14. I'm reading verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. It is possible to rejoice always in the kingdom, even when the situation is unpleasant. You have to choose between listening to what God provides or what your feelings and emotions are telling you. It is easy to hear the right voice if your mind is fixed on things above. The outward will disappear soon when Jesus comes for his bride. We read in Matthew 16:15-20. This is in Matthew's Gospel 16. I'm starting in verse 15. And he said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Verse 16. And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Verse 17. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Verse 18. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Verse 19, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Verse 20, then charged he and his disciples that they should not tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. Peter did not just get a prophetic word. He was fascinated with Jesus, studying the Messiah close up and convicted by his faithful adherence to the truth. If you want to be like Christ, you will study the word of truth that comes to you by conviction. The rightly revealed word and anointed messages can come through those following Christ. Those taking up their cross daily also get the wisdom they need daily. You must resist lies you want to believe for the sake of your flesh. John said in 1 John 4:17-18, this is 1 John chapter 4, I'm reading verse 17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Verse 18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath torment, and he that feareth is not made perfect in love. Through the fear you are still serving, your doubts will increase. You may have believed a lie that you could live as a Christian without denying yourself completely and taking up your cross daily like Christ. You quickly accepted the idea that Christ is the Savior that died for you, but you are not like Christ today, with a deficiency of love, because you've never made him Lord. If you had made him Lord, your faith would have been strengthened already, and you would be expressing more love through obedience. We also read in Matthew 16, verses 21 to 24. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16, and verse 21. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. Verse 22. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. Verse 23. And he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offence unto me, for thou savourest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. Verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Peter did not believe that the Jewish leaders were corrupt, serving the devil. The Jews over a period of time had gone from a conviction-based system of learning to using their minds through a confidence in the flesh. The salvation-only gospel is in the church today, mixed in with some doctrines for those who want to do what they want when they want. The leaders of those churches are like Pharisees and murderers. At the day of judgment, there will be no time for repentance. Only those following Christ on the narrow way have any hope of doing the perfect will of God at any point in time. Jesus said in Matthew 7:24-27. This is in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, I'm reading verse 24. Therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man who built his house upon a rock. Verse 25. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Verse 26. And every one that hears these sayings of mine and does them not shall be likened unto a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. Verse 27. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. You're either a doer of the teachings of Jesus, or you are not. If you keep making excuses for your flesh, you will never be a doer. You need to do every part of Jesus' teaching, not just the parts you find easier with the talents and gifts God has given you. Those disciples were not perfect, but they became his family by following Christ. And you should do the same. You do not have to understand to obey, but you do have to hear, trust, and obey like a little child. Jesus said in Matthew 7, 22 and 23. This is in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7. I'm reading verse 22. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. God's gifts were not to cause any division or exalt one member of God's family above another. The gifts were given to serve others in his family. The gifts God has given only operate properly when Jesus is in control of them. Paul said in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 to 26. I'm reading Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Verse 23, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Verse 24, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Verse 26, let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. The word walk in Strong's is number 4748. It comes from a Greek word which means to range in regular line, to march in military rank, to keep step. That is figuratively to conform to virtue and piety, to walk orderly. The Galatians had failed to produce a lot of fruit, and this was because they were not functioning like soldiers. They were just getting as far as the presence of God through the Holy Spirit, but had not done things at the timing prompted by the Spirit. There's a serious judgment for those who do anything that looks spiritual without making Jesus Lord. Jesus told everyone how to recognize false prophets. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 to 19. This is Matthew chapter 7. I'm reading verse 15. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Verse 16. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Verse 17. Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. Verse 18. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Verse 19. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. There is no fire insurance in God without producing some fruit of the Spirit. The devil will give you a way that seems right, serving God so you can still have what you want when you want. God allows you to deceive yourself so that later you realize you are serving the flesh and you can repent and help others. If you keep ignoring the conviction through pride, you will crash. Pride causes everyone to fall from grace. It's easier for you to repent fully when you're broken. If you have a heart after God, you will repent from dead works before time runs out. Peter was speaking on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. I'm reading verses 40 to 47. This is Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 40. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Verse 43. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Verse 44. and all that believe were together, and had all things in common. Verse 45. And sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. Verse 46. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, and did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Verse 47. Praising God and having favour with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Many well-meaning, honest Jews have played their part in personally killing the Messiah by rejecting his words and teachings. Have you rejected or resisted the conviction from the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart? If you do fall into temptation, there is no condemnation. You can ask God to forgive you and repent, but there's not much time left. You need the fear of God. Paul said in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12. This is in Philippians chapter 2. I'm reading verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. There are no rewards for trying harder in the flesh. There's an easy way and a hard way of doing anything. You can do the work yourself with your own limited resources. If you choose the better option to let God do things through you, you have to let go and let God. There is still time to make him Lord. Just calling him Lord, Lord makes you a hypocrite. Paul also said in Romans chapter 12, verses 3 to 12. This is in the book of Romans chapter 12. I'm reading verse 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Verse 4. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. Verse 5. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Verse 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy, according to the proportion of faith. Verse 7. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching. Verse 8. Or he that exhorts on exhorting. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. And he that shows mercy, with cheerfulness. Verse 9. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, and cleave to that which is good. Verse 10. Be kind, affectionate, one to another, with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Verse 11. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Verse 12. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Those living on the Broadway only use faith for temporal things because they are earthly minded. God's provision runs out on the Broadway as it did for the prodigal son who asked for his inheritance. Faith only works when it's directed into the things God wants you to have and use. You do not need to come to God with a long shopping list of basic needs. Your Heavenly Father knows what you need before you ask him. You can ask more questions by prayer when something doesn't arrive on time. According to Paul, different gifts were given to be shared and not to make you lazy or puff anyone up in the family of God. You were given the measure of faith to do the following. Number one, think soberly or wisely about how to do things in the Spirit and not compromise on Jesus' teaching. Number two, serve others in the family, as no one is the same, and God can use one person to supply the needs of many. Number three, stay united to Christ with him as the head, to bring you closer to one another like the spokes of a wheel. Number four, provide a variety of ministries in the church to help those who are on the front line. Number five, serve those who teach from experience how to do different tasks in the spirit without ever getting in the flesh. Number 6, exhort and speak to one another about following Christ, even when things are difficult or financially challenging, with examples, showing mercy to others under your care. Number 7, love everyone God sends your way by letting God use you to love the way he wants, emotionally and in other ways. Number 8, hate evil when someone is overcome and encourage everyone to learn from the mistakes that they made serving a selfish agenda. Number 9, keep serving practically by doing things like washing up or cleaning if needed, as the servant of all. Number 10, love those who are following Christ by example with a pure motive. Number 11, give opportunity to others to learn and be blessed by serving. Number 12, in business, live as if you're serving Christ in his kingdom in Jerusalem now. Number 13, always make room in a busy schedule to serve in a ministry, even if you are the breadwinner in the family. Number 14, rejoice that your name has not been blotted out of the Lamb's Book of Life if you've recently been on the way that seems right and repented in time. Number 15, be patient and pray for your enemies that God will grant the evildoer repentance before the final judgment. Number 16, pray for God's will to be done above all. Faith in the church is often used for miracles, breakthrough, and blessings that are all part of your salvation anyway. The devil uses false prophets to get the church doing works to earn what they already have received in the package of salvation. You should be enjoying his provision because you are following Jesus without the laying on of hands or asking for blessings. The blessings follow you as you follow Christ. Jesus said in Matthew 6, verse 33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." In every family there are differences, and God can use personal differences like sandpaper to expose some wrong motives in you. You have grace to change yourself, not anyone else. And when you've learned your lesson, then the trial of your faith will stop and another one begin. This process is necessary for you to reach the goal and complete the work God wants to do through you by faith before time runs out. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 to 13. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6. I'm reading verse 9. "After this manner therefore pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Verse 10. "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven." Verse 11. "Give us this day our daily bread." Verse 12. "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." Verse 13. "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." You should pray for God to close doors of opportunity, not open them, when there's still a level of temptation you cannot handle. Those who owe you something should be given more time to pay you back. In the meantime, the pressure this creates will deepen your foundation in the Lord. Start by loving God and study the Word, or you will dishonor his name. Jesus said to his disciples, in John 14, verses 13 to 15. This is John 14, starting in verse 13. "And whatsoever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." Verse 14. "If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." Verse 15. "If you love me, keep my commandments." God is easy to love because he's perfect and never does any wrong. If you believe that, you will obey and keep his commandments. He provides the resources you need to obey and be a disciple, but not to do what you want since you are born again. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, Matthew 16:24 to 26 says, Then Jesus said to his disciples, If anyone desires to be my disciple, let him deny himself, disregard, lose sight of, and forget himself and his own interests, and take up his cross and follow me. Cleave steadfastly to me, conform wholly to my example in living, and if need be, in dying also. For whosoever is bent on saving his temporal life, his comfort and security here shall lose it, eternal life. And whosoever loses his life, his comfort and security here, for my sake, shall find it, life everlasting. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his life, his blessed life in the kingdom of God? Or what would a man give as an exchange for his blessed life in the kingdom of God? You cannot serve God and mammon. Man was created in the image of God to rule and to serve at the same time. God is transmitting his commands for you to be perfect. He knows what you are able to endure. And this is why you must love God and hate your flesh. By listening more to your own flesh in this world, you will fall asleep spiritually. You cannot serve by just doing dead works that are good either. God designed man to serve Jesus through the voice of the Spirit. Jesus said in Mark chapter 10, verses 43 to 45. This is Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, I'm reading verse 43. But so shall it not be among you, but whosoever will be among you shall be your minister. Verse 44. And whosoever of you will be the chiefest will be the servant of all. Verse 45. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. Every person born on the face of the earth was separated from God through sin. You were designed to fit together as one with your Heavenly Father, directing everything. You cannot have life without being a servant of God, obeying the Spirit. Jesus was speaking to his disciples in John 14, verses 6 and 7. This is John 14, verses 6 and 7. And Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Verse 7. If you'd known me, you should have known my Father also, and from henceforth you know him and have seen him. Jesus is the head of the family. He is your big brother because he obeyed and showed us the way to live. He did not think about his own needs, but put himself in the hands of his Father. He will not overload you either, but you must be yoked to him to make sure the work is done perfectly. We read in Matthew 11, verses 25 to 30. This is Matthew 11, I'm reading verse 25. At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, O Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Verse 26. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. Verse 27. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, and neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Verse 29. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. Verse 30, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Everyone is not to do the same work in the church, as God's mission would not be completed. Instead, everyone needs to hear him and do what they are supposed to do out of love and be fitly joined together with Christ leading through the Spirit. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4, 11 through to verse 25, I'm reading the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, starting in verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers Verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Verse 16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working, in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Verse 17, this I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. Verse 18, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. Verse 19, who being past feeling have given themselves over into lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. Verse 20, but ye have not so learned Christ. Verse 21, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. Verse 22, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. Verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Verse 24, that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Verse 25, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. The church of Ephesus failed to apply what Paul taught about love and became political instead, trying to serve two masters. They lost their first love after John was exiled on the Isle of Patmos. The church of Ephesus had learned all their doctrines from the apostles directly. However, they had not learned to serve and work together. Soldiers on the front line can do the work if they have the resources and sufficient backup. When you do not do your part, then the family of Christ doing the will of God suffers. Everyone should be supplying something as a servant. Jesus said in Luke 14, verses 8 to 11. I'm reading Luke's Gospel, chapter 14, starting in verse 8. When thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than you be bidden of him. Verse 9, and he that bade thee and him come and say to thee, give this man's place, and thou begin with shame to take the lowest room. Verse 10, but when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room, that when he that bade thee come, he may say unto thee, friend, go up higher, then shalt thou have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. Verse 11, for whosoever exalts himself shall be abased, and he that humbles himself shall be exalted. Do not exalt yourself. Who will do the work you were doing previously if you exalt yourself? There will just be a vacancy. This is especially true if you are the servant of all. Jesus is coming soon. And Jesus said in Matthew 24, 45, I'm reading to verse 51. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24, I'm reading verse 45. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Verse 46, blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he comes, shall find so doing. Verse 47, Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. Verse 48. But if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delays his coming. Verse 49. And shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken. Verse 50. The Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looks not for him, in an hour that he's not aware of. Verse 51. And shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. In every generation there are wise and foolish virgins. You should be busy doing what God wants you to do, where God puts you. You need to repent if you have any of the following in the body of Christ. Number one, a feeling of self-importance or pride. Number two, a feeling of, I'm not needed. False humility is also pride. Number three, thoughts that I'm so different I can't fit in. Number four, thoughts of, I'm better off alone with just me and my Bible. Number five, a confidence based on what you have learned academically. And number six, a dislike for conviction and repentance. God's ways are not man's ways. In the kingdom of God, the least is the greatest. When Jesus sets up his ministry on this earth, those things that man has developed to make his own life more comfortable will not continue. Everyone will be working with their hands. And then those who are meek and humble will be promoted. Those who learn obedience now will be given extra grace and function under him because they were faithful. If you want to hear and get to know and follow Jesus, then I can recommend this book, My Sheep Hear My Voice by Joseph Hedgecock. If you want to make a fresh start and get on the narrow path, sow in the Spirit daily, experience full salvation and freedom through regular repentance, then I can recommend the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations of Spiritual Maturity by Joseph Hedgecock. If you want to grow up spiritually, not be earthly minded and come to maturity, then I can recommend the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually by Joseph Hedgecock. Do not accept a counterfeit version of Christianity, based on religious works where you do not have to deny yourself daily and take up your cross. You need to make sure that you get on the narrow way. The broad way that leads to destruction looks good. It's signposted heaven this way. And many well-meaning good people attending church are on the broad way. If you know that you have resisted the truth and want to know why, then I can recommend the book The Guilted Prison, Revised Edition by Joseph Hedgecock. Today I've been sharing with you about the family of God. And your life shows that you have a relationship with God. First of all, because you're born again. And secondly, because you're following Christ. And maybe you stop somewhere and believe lies along the way. You've lost your grip on eternal life. You heard the gospel in the beginning and you realized that you should follow Christ, but your heart became hard somewhere along the way. You listened to some other explanation. You listened to lies, something to comfort your flesh. And you've lost your glow. You've lost your life. You've lost your excitement about Jesus. And I want you to go back to that point and thoroughly repent and understand that you serving just the lust of the flesh, maybe the devil's making your life miserable right now, but he is only going to feed you what you want. I want you to personally recognize that if you have departed from the faith, it's only because there is some lust of the flesh that you so desperately wanted that will not do you any good without Jesus being Lord of your life. I want to pray with you. I want you to be part of the family. I want you to enjoy the real family of God everywhere that is existing. I want you to be part of a group of people who deny themselves and take up their cross daily. Do you want that? Let me pray with you if that's what you want. Father in heaven, for those who are listening to this message right now, touch their hearts. They want to repent. They admit that they've got off that narrow path. Some have not even realized the narrow path. But Father, help them now, I pray, to enter into the kingdom of God and deny themselves completely. I pray that in Jesus' precious name. You can find a summary of the scriptures used in today's message below the video, either written out or via a link to a website. Our contact details will follow at the end of this message. Please write to us. Get in touch. Maybe we can help you. Please, we'd love to hear from you. And God bless you, and thank you for listening.